Okay, welcome to our new sermon series called Luggage. It's all about your baggage, and I can't wait to air your dirty laundry for the next 4 weeks. No, we're not going to do that. If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh Burnham, lead pastor here at Bethel, and we have a lot of people watching online because of COVID, because of travel. We have a lot of people that are new watching online and new here. So first, let us welcome them. If you're not in the new category and if you're not online, let them know how much you appreciate them to be here. One way that we can pray for you this week, if you are new and want to connect with a pastor, if you have a prayer concern, fill out one of these green cards and put it in the offering basket on the way out, or you can connect with us online. It's right there on the front page. I found a connect card last week. It's actually from Eli, which is my son, and he marked, I've been here 45 plus times. So I said, well, first time he filled out a card, so he'll be a new guest. But that's been a reminder to pray for those that have been here 45 times or more, and still we don't know who you are. So let us celebrate with you. If you need to take a next step in your faith, that's the easy way. And our pastors are faithful. We will follow up with you on Monday morning to pray for you and encourage you all along the way. So we are starting a new sermon series called Luggage. It's all about baggage. We all have it, and we all need to get rid of it, right? So let me give you a baggage story really quick. Last month, my wife and I went to upstate New York, to Niagara Falls. We were just going to take a quick trip. And so we had an FAA, we both had FAA approved carry-ons. It fit in the, I mean, you have the little mock area. It fit in the airport. So we get to the airplane and we're going from Detroit to Buffalo, and these are puddle jumpers. So we take our luggage on, and I try to fit our carry-on in the overhead bin, because we had a 5 minute layover, so I didn't want to check it, and it wouldn't fit. It's approved, it should fit. And so as a typical man, I said, well, obviously I have it turned the wrong way. So I flipped it 90 degrees and it still wouldn't fit. And I said, okay, there's two other sides. I flipped it again, and I heard someone from the back said, it's not gonna fit. And I was like, Did I ask you? So I took it out and I smashed it down, and I could feel the radiance of their gaze at me, thinking, you're about to delay our plane. So after about 30 seconds, I'm thinking, this is not going to fit. And so I took our baggage off the plane. We checked it at the front desk where it belonged. There was someone that was capable of carrying my baggage, and it should not have been me. As we think about our baggage, this episode in my life reminds me that we all have baggage and it shouldn't be in your life. God says it's not going to fit, and we still are forcing the issue, some of us, right? And God is saying, it's not supposed to be there. Get rid of it. And today, we asked you on Easter, we surveyed our church and said, what do you want us to preach about? What do you want to hear God's word, how it impacts your life? The greatest baggage that you had. Sorry, I have a hair. Let me grab that real quick. I don't want people to think I'm grabbing at spiritual strongholds. That was just a hair. But when we look at baggage, the number one thing that you said is we want to hear what the word of God says about stress and worry. So this is what I know about you. We are a stressful church. We are a worried church. And I believe that God doesn't want that. He didn't design you to worry, and he does not desire you to worry. So we're going to look at the Word of God, the Sermon on the Mount today. Jesus' famous sermon that he ever preached. So if you have your Bibles with me, meet me in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. If you think you're alone and worrying, just know that was the most popular requested topic. So that's the greatest baggage that we carry as a church. Also know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus preaches on worry. So this is not a modern invention. People have been worrying from the dawn of time, and God says, don't do it. And so I think he gives us the command and he gives us the cure today for worry. Matthew 25, I'm going to make this really easy for you. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry. We could just stop there. Jesus says, don't do it. It's not what I want for your life. And he continues, don't worry about your life, about what you will eat, what you will drink, or your body, about what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Is not life more, the body more than clothing? He says, consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow and they don't reap. They don't gather into barns yet. Your heavenly Father feeds them. And I can see the crowd leaning in. And Jesus says, aren't you worth more than the birds? In verse 27, can any of you add one more moment to his lifespan by worrying? So as we unpack stress and worry this morning, let's go to God and ask his wisdom in our lives, that we would not just hear, but we would do his word. Let's pray. Father, we believe that we are sinful. You tell us that. That we are broken. You tell us that. And Lord, our brokenness leads us to places of worry. Our brokenness leads us to places of stress. And Lord, we confess right now that those of us who have carried the baggage of worry and anxiety into this place and into your presence, Father, may we leave it here and not carry it back home. Lord, forgive us when we have tried to force things into our life that we have no business carrying. Lord, may we leave here with clean hands and pure hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So again, if you feel like you're the only one in the whole world that has ever worried, you're not alone. There's at least one person 2,000 years ago who was worried, and Jesus preaches on that. Actually, I believe the world is a worried world. And so Jesus uses his most famous sermon on the topic of worry. 6 times in this passage, in verses 25 through 34, Jesus uses the word worry. Do not worry. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you eat. It's not a modern invention. It's an ancient temptation. And I believe Jesus gives you the cure for worry today. He gives us the command and then the cure. So let's start here. What is worry? Simply defined by modern psychologists, worry is this. It happens when your mind dwells, keep that word dwells in your mind, dwells on negative thoughts, uncertain outcomes, or things that could go wrong. Anyone have any uncertainty in their life right now? Am I the only? Okay, turn on the news when you get home, and then you'll raise your hand next week. We live in uncertainty, and it's not a modern invention. Jesus Christ, God, is the greatest certainty that we ever have in our life. And Jesus is telling us, don't dwell on those things that you can't control. Keep your mind on the things that you know to be true. So worry is when we dwell on negative thoughts, self-talk, perpetuating uncertainty. Stress is the physical manifestation of the thoughts. So stress is the high blood pressure. Stress is the eating and the gaining weight. Stress is the fatigue. Stress are the physical manifestations of your brain going crazy because nothing in this life is certain. So for those of you who are control freaks and you have to control everything, you are not in control. I'm sorry. I just pray that in the next 20 or 30 minutes, this is your freak out moment. Where you realize nothing is in your control, but that gives us rest because everything is in his control. Trust Christ. Colossians says this about dwelling on things. Don't dwell on worry. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So what are you dwelling on today. And so into this midst of our baggage of worry and stress, this is what Jesus says. Verse 25, he makes it super easy for all of us. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. That's it. We can go ahead and every head bowed, every eye closed, just as I am playing behind us. Jesus says, stop. Don't do it. Now, if it were that easy, we would not be worried, would we? Some of you are thinking, well, if I could just stop, then I would just stop. And the worry would stop and the stress would stop. It's not always that easy. And I can imagine Jesus' original audience is looking at him with a puzzled look and thinking, is it that easy? We know Jesus is a rabbi. He's a wise sage. Some had already recognized him as Lord and Savior, the Son of God. Some had not. And they're puzzled thinking, is there more to the story? Just know this. If Jesus says don't do it, it is not God's design and it is not his desire for your life. So if you worry, when you worry, when you stress, you should immediately say this is not God's will for my life because Jesus said don't do it. That's just like if you want to murder, you can say, well, Jesus says don't do it. I shouldn't do it. It's not God's design and his desire. Because if we're not careful, worry will eat us alive. It'll make you inefficient for the kingdom. But Jesus doesn't only give you the command not to worry. He gives you the cure. And I found in my life that worry will never lead you to a healthy destination. None of you, none of us said, you know what? I'm better because I worried. I'm glad I stressed yesterday because today is awesome because I stressed. That's not what worry does. Worry only zaps your strength. So worrying never leads you to a healthy spiritual place. So Jesus says, stop. Don't do it. That's the command. I'm reminded in this passage, if Jesus says don't do it, he says don't do it because God the Father knows all of our anxious thoughts. And he knows all of your needs. Think about that. What does Jesus say? He says, don't worry. And then he says, hey, have you guys thought about the birds? Now, just picture yourself on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, listening to the most famous sermon that Jesus ever preached. And you're drawn in and you hear Jesus say, here's the command, don't worry. And you're thinking, okay, that's awesome. So what do we do? Hey, check out the birds. And we begin to look, and Jesus says this. He says, they don't sow, and they don't reap. And yet, what happens to the birds? Your heavenly Father feeds them. He goes further. He says in verse 28 and following, he says, look at the wildflowers. These aren't even the flowers that you planted in pots. Like this is not the orchid that you have that your grandmother gave you on your table that you're watering and trying to blossom. These are just wildflowers. And even those flowers are adorned in greater splendor than Solomon could. What is Jesus trying to teach us about all of this? He's reminding us that there is more to life than just what you think you need. And he's also saying that the Heavenly Father knows your needs. If God can feed the birds, he can feed you. If God can clothe the flowers who look better than any Gucci product that you could ever purchase, then how much more does God not love you? And so as Jesus unwraps this, he says, every time you see a bird, think of your feast. We should be able to look at birds if you are in Christ and say, God, you take care of them, so you will greatly take care of me. So what is Jesus doing here? He's saying the first cure to all of your worries, consider your worth. Consider your worth. Does God love you more than the birds? Okay, if you don't know the answer is yes. Does God love you more than the birds? Yes. He loves you more than the robins. He loves you more than the bald eagles. He loves you more than the war eagles. He loves you more than the crows that are a thorn in my side. God loves us, and Jesus is saying, consider your worth. If the king cares about the birds, how much more does he care about you? And so I just want to share this with you. Do you understand fully your worth? If God went to the grocery store and pulled you off the shelf and looked at the price, do you know your worth? Do you know your cost? It would say Jesus on it. That's how much you're worth. God gave his only son so that those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Think about that. You are worth the only son of God. And so when you worry, just remind yourself how much you are worth to the Heavenly Father. Jesus says, consider the birds. God takes care of them and he will greatly, abundantly take care of you. Let your worth chase your worry. That's cure number one. But there's another cure here. He continues in verse 27. He says, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? Well, the answer is no. Because if for some of us, if worrying was an Olympic sport, you would be the gold medalist. And I'm thankful that we can't add a day to our life, because if some of us could add days by worrying, we're going to be really old and salty by the end of all this. God is saying you can't add. You cannot add time to your life by worrying. What is Jesus saying? He's saying consider the great gift of today. Consider the gift of today. How does Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. What does he say when we pray about bread? He doesn't say, Lord, stock the pantry. Fill the freezer. No, we pray this way. Lord, give us today our daily bread. What is God saying? Today is a gift. Don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough worrying on its own. Consider today. Researchers have found that our world creates anxiety. I don't know if that's a newsflash to you. I just finished a book called Numb, How Our World Numbs Us to the Realities That God Has. It's a secular book, but this is what researchers have found. For all of you who are on Instagram, take note. Researchers have found that when you take pictures of objects to save them for later, you actually recognize them less than the ones you visually observed and appreciated at the moment. So this is what researchers have found. If you are too busy taking a picture of Niagara Falls, then later in life you will not remember the beauty of the falls. So we live in a world that is consumed by visual media. Most of us are now creators of media, and our psychologists have found is you don't remember things. You don't appreciate things in the moment because you're trying to capture them for later. Am I the only one that's been guilty of that? Well, at least I'm the only one that's honest here. And so we live in a world where we are no longer content with today, but we are concerned with tomorrow. And Jesus says, if that's the life you're going to live, you will always be worried. You see, worrying never empties tomorrow of its sorrows. It only empties today of its strength. It never blesses tomorrow. It only robs today. And we need to put a stake in the ground in this moment and say, God, I will not let my worries for today mess up my relationship with you tomorrow. So if the first cure was to know your worth, Jesus says the second cure is to recognize the gift of today. Thank God today for what he is giving you today. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. I'm a planner. You should plan for tomorrow. Jesus is not saying be wasteful, but he is saying if you worry about tomorrow, that is wasted time. Planning for tomorrow, good. Worrying for tomorrow, wasted. Practice the cure of being present today. Practice the cure of being present and thankful for today. I have a lot of worries tomorrow. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about them today. Because God is in control and He is on His throne in this moment. So Jesus continues. The first cure is to know your worth. Second cure for worry, be thankful for the moment. And then He continues. Look at verse 30. This is following the wildflowers part of the sermon. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will He not do much more for you? And then Jesus says this, you of little faith. Now there's several ways you can read this. Jesus could be saying, come on guys, you should have more faith than this. Have I not taught you anything? That's one reading. I think the better reading is this, little faithless ones. I believe Jesus is building His people up, and He's trying to focus their hearts and their minds upward. He's saying, if you just knew how much God loved you, if you just knew how much you were treasured, if you just knew that He sent His only Son to one day die on a cross to give you everything you need. Listen, if you just knew, you would have more faith. It's a term of endearment. Jesus is drawing us close, and He's asking us, do you trust the Father or not? Jesus doesn't say this slapping them on the face, but with the arm around their shoulder. Saying, if you come in here today with little faith, you don't have to leave in the same way. Little faith ones. Do you understand how much God loves you? And Jesus recognizes that at the heart of all of our worries is the seed of mistrust. Do you know why you actually worry? Because in that moment you're saying, God, it's uncertain, but I feel like I have the answer. I just don't know what it is right now. Worry at its core is saying, God, I don't trust you fully in this moment. Worry is an issue of faith. So here's our third cure for worry right here in verse 30. Jesus clearly says, if you trust that God is your Father and you trust that that you are His child, will you trust Him fully? Cure number three is simple. It's trust. Do you fundamentally trust God today that He can provide your every need? Some of us have said we trust God for heaven, but we don't trust Him for today. What sense does that make, guys? To say, I trust God to keep me from hell, but I don't trust Him for providing in this moment? God wants us to trust Him. You can either make a way yourself, or you can trust the way maker. Cure number three, trust God. Know your worth. Live and trust in the moment. Fully trust in God. Here's our fourth cure. You ready? It comes in verse 31 through 33. So again, Jesus says, don't worry. Stop it. Some of you need to hear that again. You're going to leave here thinking, well, does God really want me to worry? Stop. He doesn't. Don't worry. What we will eat, don't worry about where you're going to eat after church. Chill out. What you will drink, or what you will wear. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Does anyone love that verse? That Jesus tells us, hey Josh, in case you forget, God knows what you need. I love that thought. Verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then if you do, all these things will be added unto you. So as Jesus most famous sermon crescendos. Jesus gives us the final cure that he offers for our worry. It is seek first the kingdom. First is a word of priority, isn't it? Jesus doesn't say seek the kingdom. He says what? Seek first the kingdom. That's a word of priority. Jesus is telling some of us, the reason, Josh, that you worry so much is because your world is out of priority. You're worried about everything else first. If you seek the kingdom first, if you find Christ first, if you seek him first, everything else follows. So maybe today for some of you, you need to get your priorities back together again. Seek first the kingdom. It also means that God knows in our life, if he can give us his righteousness, that God knows what we need to think upon. He knows what we need to live. He knows what we need for righteousness' sake. I think of priorities this way. When your priorities are whack, worry will flourish. So when you worry, just know things are whack in your life. W and W, that's the easy way to think about it. When I worry, God is not first. When I worry, my priorities are whack. And maybe today you need to seek Christ again. And say, God, I'm tired of this cycle. I'm tired of the stress that comes from the worry that leads to stress. And God is saying, Josh, if you would come to me today, if you would give me your baggage of stress, if you would give me your baggage of worry, then I know what to do with it. Leave it with God because he cares for you. Seek first the kingdom. And God says this also. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. How can we as sinful people seek righteousness? The Bible clearly says that there is no one righteous, not even one. God is looking down at his world and saying, hey, there's not even a single righteous person in this church on their own. How can we seek righteousness? We can't on our own. It is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that makes us what God wants us to be. Think of it this way. God is in the business of fulfilling your eternal needs first, and then the temporal needs come second. Sometimes we pray and we worry about things that are secondary. We worry about our house, and we worry about college, and we worry about relationships, and we worry about Instagram, and we worry about new shoes, and we worry about Milo sweet tea, and we worry about the next meal. And God is saying there's something more to life than that. Because you can be full, you can be satisfied and have no thirst, and you can have the best clothes. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I'm thankful for a God who knows what we need and knows how to give it. He gives us righteousness through Jesus Christ. And if we can trust God for restoration and reconciliation, when you can trust him for everything else. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That's why 2 Corinthians says this, that God made he who knew no sin to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's what Jesus did for you. He made you right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you do, all of these things will be added. Cure number four, very simple. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. And as we look at the baggage of worry, I can't help but think of that plane. I was on Delta. I can't help but think of the Delta airline where everyone in the back of the plane was looking at me saying, how foolish, bless his heart. Because no matter which way he turns that baggage, it's not going to fit. He can smash it. He can turn it. He can flip it. And I believe some of you are wrestling with the same thing spiritually. You're stressed out and you are worried because you get stressed and you just want to flip it and turn it. Or maybe you put it on the ground and you jump on it harder, saying, if I just flattened it, then it would go. And God is saying, Josh, I've never designed that to be in your life. Give the baggage to me. Would you do that today? I'm reminded that some of us are worrying and some of us carry stress because you have never fully trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You think you have, but you never have. And maybe for the first time, God has awakened your soul and you realize that you are not righteous and you are not right. Maybe for the first time in your life, you realize that you are a sinner, as God says you are. And you're here today because today is the day that God wants you to hear the good news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'll be the first one to say, I'm the worst, as the Apostle Paul did. But Jesus came to save you. But you can't carry your baggage into heaven. The way we find everlasting life is we give our baggage to Jesus. And Jesus tells us, I know what to do with that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, that God says that Jesus' forgiveness, he throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a God who doesn't let my sins hang around. God doesn't say, you better be careful because that sin's right behind you and I'm going to remind you of it. God says, I have thrown your baggage as far as the east is from the west. Do you trust me? Maybe for the first time, you need to pray a prayer of confession and faith and say, God, I am a sinner. I'm sorry. And I believe you sent Jesus Christ to live a sinless life and to die on the cross. And God, I deserve to die. But you sent Jesus. And he rose again. And I believe that Jesus will make me right. And God, for the first time, I need to be made right. God, for the first time, I need to seek the righteousness that only you can provide. Listen, you will never stop worrying until you have your priorities right. Put Jesus first, and you can do that today. Let us know. We want to help you take your next steps of faith. We want to celebrate new life in you. Maybe you're here and you say, well, I am a Christ follower and I struggle with worry. Listen, I'll raise my hand and say that. I have not conquered the worry thing. But I do know this. I do know that every time I worry, my priorities are whack. And every time I worry, it's a reminder by the Spirit of God, Josh, seek me first. Come back to me. And maybe, again today, you just need to come to God and say, God, I know what you say. I know that I am worth more than anything else in creation. I know that you know my needs. But God, I need to hear it. And maybe you need to come again and just pray that simple prayer that Jesus gives us in the model prayer. Lord, give me today my daily bread. Lord, I have 1,000 things to worry about tomorrow, but Father, I want the cure of today. Lord, meet my needs today. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit would let you exhale. And to say, God, it's not me, but it's you. God, I'm not in control. You are. God, I'm worth more than a bird. God, I'm not worried about tomorrow. Would you exhale spiritually today and let God fill you again? Listen, church, worry was never God's design, and it is not his desire for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to him. If you want to come in our time of response, if you want to come into the front and pray, and maybe for you, that's a symbolic way of saying to God, God, I brought baggage in here, but I'm not going home with it. If you just leave it. Maybe you want to kneel in your seat and pray and say, God, I'm tired of the baggage. I'm tired of the worry that leads to stress, which leads to more worry. God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to seek first the kingdom. Maybe you need to spend time interceding for those in your life that are the worriers. And God has brought you here to be an intercessor. To plead with him, to say, God, show them your glory. God, help them seek first the kingdom. Lord, may they fall on their knees before you. I don't know where you are spiritually, but the Holy Spirit knows where every single one of us. Would you take the next step? Would you leave here seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And when we do, church, listen to this. When we seek first the kingdom, Jesus says all of these things will be added to you. I don't know what all of these things are, but I can only imagine the lavish love of a Heavenly Father upon his people. Let's go to the Lord.